Okay, so let's go for the last session of this afternoon and of this conference. So it's my pleasure to welcome Gabriel Marais. So Gabriel Marais is a senior researcher. He used to work in Lyon in the LBBE, but he recently moved to Porto to lead a project on a collaboration between Porto and Montpellier. And it's really a pleasure to welcome Gabriel, especially because my first experience in research, in evolution, and in the evolution of sex chromosomes was during internships with Gabriel. So if I'm here today, it's a part because of Gabriel. So thank you very much. And Gabriel.
Thank you, Paul, for this kind introduction. And thanks to Tatiana and all the organizers for setting up this great meeting. Okay, so when we try to think of separate sexes, males and females, we usually picture animals, but actually separate sexes also exist in plants. Botanists call them dioecious plants. And in angiosperm, there are about 15,000 dioecious species. They represent about 6% of all angiosperm species. The ancestor of angiosperm was probably hermaphroditic. And dioecy is a derived trait in angiosperms that evolved 1,000 to 5,000 times independently and quite often recently. Sex determination is what we know about sex determination is very different in animals and in plants. In animals, we have rough information about sex chromosome, about sex determination, presence of sex chromosome, environmental sex determination for more than 90% of the animal species. In angiosperms, we have this information for about 3% of the dioecious species that I mentioned earlier. In animals, sex chromosomes are very common. They are found in many animal groups. In plants, The few species for which we have information on sex determination, they have sex chromosomes, but because this is a very small sample, it's difficult to draw a conclusion of how pervasive are sex chromosomes in plant at this stage. If you look at this database about plant sex chromosomes, you find that there is information sex chromosomes have been found in 166 angiosperm species. But again, if you compare that to the 15,000 species, dioecious species in angiosperm, it tells you how little we know about sex chromosomes in angiosperms. So this is a tentative scenario for the evolution of plant sex chromosomes. It's based on the few species that have been studied, and also with some inspiration from animal systems. Sex chromosomes originates with from autosome on which a sex determining gene or several sex determining genes evolve, And then recombination is suppressed. This non-recombining region can grow quite large, and the non-recombining part of the Y chromosome accumulates repeats and loses genes. So actually, in the first step, the Y chromosome will grow larger than the X, and then it will become smaller. Then the Y is so degenerated that it stops having a role, an active role in sex determination, and can even be lost. And we have this X autosome ratio sex determination type. It's important to say that this is not a one-way evolutionary path. We have some cases where homomorphic system in which the non-recombining region has remained small, and we also have cases in plants in which the sex chromosome didn't have time to differentiate simply because they were replaced by the new pair of sex chromosomes. So as I said, it's a tentative scenario. There are many unanswered questions that remain about this scenario, at least in plants. And today, I will focus on this question. So we have very little data on these later stages because very few old plant systems have been identified and characterized. Okay, so I should probably go really fast on this slide about the importance of studying sex chromosomes with this audience. But it's important both at the fundamental science level and also at the applied research one, because actually crops are enriched in dioecious plants or plants from a dioecious origin. So so it's important to understand sex determination in these plants to better manage reproduction of these crops. But the problem is the Y chromosome is a bioinformatic nightmare. It's very difficult to study with standard approaches in genomics. And you know, of course, the reasons. The first reason is because of the repeats that are really abundant on the Y chromosome. And when you want to use the whole genome shotgun approach, this really makes difficult the assembly part. And also, there is a difficulty when you want to sequence heterogametic sex, so XY males or ZW females, because in that case, the coverage of the sex chromosomes will be halved compared to the autosomes. And of course, as you know, the performance of the assembly will depend on the coverage. So non-standard methods have been developed to study sex chromosomes. I'm not going to go through all of these methods, but some have been mentioned previously. So here you can maybe spot the male-female coverage ratio. Today I'm going to tell you more about this family of method called segregation analysis method. So the principle is quite simple. The idea is just to study how alleles are transmitted from parents to offspring. So you need a cross, you need a pedigree, a family, and then you look at the SNPs and the alleles and how they are transmitted from the parents to the progeny. So here it's obvious it's an autosomal marker. Here you see that this big A allele goes from the father to sons. So it's a XY gene pair with big A being the Y allele and little a the X1. And with this segregation analysis method, we can also find X hemizygous genes. So here, just because they have peculiar transmission pattern in which the father gives his unique allele to the daughters, and the sons, they only received the allele from the mother. So based on the pioneering work from 2011 from Dmitry Filatov and Deborah Charles' group, we actually Aline Meul, when she was a PhD student in the group, developed a method for this approach. It's called a sex detector. It's a probabilistic method based on a model. It has parameters accounting for basically errors in the data. So it's very important. And these parameters they are inferred using the maximum likelihood approach. And so for each gene, you end up having a posterior probability of being autosomal, XY, and X hemizygous. So it's very useful because it's you can make objective choice about a gene, about the segregation type of a gene. This is really easy to use this approach. Even in non-model organisms for which you have no reference genome, you only need to be able to have a cross and to get RNA from the parents and a few offspring. Then you can get RNA-seq data. If you don't have a reference genome, you can even assemble a de novo transcriptome on which you map back the reads from the individual to do SNP calling and get genotyping data from all the individuals, and then you run sex detector on those data, and you get the list of sex-linked genes and their sequences. Okay, it's nowadays it's a €5,000 experiment. François Gendreau, who was a postdoc in the lab and C++ master, wrote a C++ version of sex detector that is much faster and can be used for genomic data. So it's useful when you study a very small sex determining region. And also, Yoskaffer in the group developed another method called sex detector in population for species for which it's difficult to get across, and there are many plants in that situation. So the program is. Has been designed similarly to sex detector, but the method, it's the model is completely different. It's a population genetics model, and so here you can sample males and females in the wild, get RNA-seq data, and so you need a little bit more individuals compared to sex detector, the classical sex detector, because there is less information. It's, I would say, 10 to 20 individuals per sex, and then you get the list of sex-linked genes and their sequences. So we have been applying those methods in different dioecious plants. We tried Silene latifolia first, our favorite dioecious plant. So this was Aline's work in collaboration with Alex Widmer and Roman Hobza. We also tried it on other dioecious Silene with Pascal Touzet. We tried it on Mercurialis annua in collaboration with John Pannell. In a dioecious cocobit with Abdel Bendaman and Susan Renner, in Vitis silvestris, the wild grapevine, in collaboration with INRA, and also in Umbrella trichopoda, the sister species of all other extant angiosperm species, in collaboration with Charlie Scott and Jim Liebensmack. But today I'm going to tell you about what we did in Cannabaceae, in Cannabis sativa and Humulus lupulus. So we decided to work on Cannabis sativa because it's a potentially old system. In Cannabaceae, Daishi is probably ancestral. They are heteromorphic systems, so Cannabis sativa has a nearly homomorphic system, but Humulus lupulus has a Y chromosome smaller than the X, and both plants, they have XA ratio sex determination type. And also Cannabis sativa is an important crop in which only females are useful. Only females produce cannabinoid, and so it's really important to remove the males as soon as possible. But when we started these studies, there were no fully reliable genetic marker for early sexing of cannabis plants. And the genome project, there were two at the time, they had failed to actually identify the sex chromosomes. So this was Jivan Prontu PhD thesis, and Jivan ran sex detector on Cannabis sativa, and he found 565 sex-linked genes. He mapped them on the Cannabis sativa female genome that we had, PacBio produced by another group, and here you have the different chromosomes. And the vast majority of the sex-linked gene, they mapped on a single chromosome. So in blue you have the XY, and in red you have the X hemizygous. And so it means that clearly the first chromosome is the X chromosome in that species. Then we tried to characterize this system. We found that probably the Y chromosome has lost 70% of its genes, and the Y over X expression ratio was found to be 0.5 in average. It's a very low value for a plant system. And also we found, so this is a measure of dosage compensation and a measure of white degeneration, and we found evidence for dosage compensation in this plant. We also used the maximum synonymous divergence between X and Y copies to get an estimate of the age of the system, and we came up with this estimate, 27 million years, so it's old. And it's older than the Cannabis humulus general divergence, so we decided to look at Humulus lupulus. Again, we ran a sex detector analysis. We found 265 sex-linked genes, and we found that a large part of them are common between both species. And when we tried to map the hop sex link gene onto the cannabis sativa genome, we found that they all map to the same chromosome. Okay, so both systems are clearly homologous. And so when we looked at the XY divergence, we found out that actually there is probably two different regions. So with this region with higher DS values, and probably that stop recombining before the divergence, the split between the two genera, and this one probably after. But to really confirm that, we looked at the phylogenies of the sex link genes, and here it's the topology you expect for a recombination suppression before split of the two genera, and here you have the topology you expect for a split for recombination suppression after the split of both genera. And here you have the position of the genes on the X chromosome. And we found that the genes that have this topology, they map to the regions with the highest level of divergence. And these genes that have this topology, they map a bit everywhere. But we realized that we might have a problem here in case of genes with divergence in X and Y copies. You have, because you are mapping the Y reads onto the X reference, maybe you have a mapping bias that looks like a gene conversion. And so we applied a correction. We actually detected all the gene conversion events in all the alignments, and we removed these regions of gene conversion track, and here you get a much clearer pattern, right? So the genes with this topology, they really concentrate in the region with the highest DS values, and the genes with this topology, they concentrate on the other region. Okay, so what can we say about plant sex chromosome evolution? So in cannabis sativa, I told you the sex chromosomes, they have nearly the same size. So one possibility is so we know that these sex chromosomes, they are old, right? So they should go on this scenario at the end of the scenario. So perhaps they are here, so on the way to Y chromosome reduction, right? The other possibility is that actually they didn't go through the phase of Y size expansion, because of a different dynamics of transposable element accumulation in this lineage, we don't know. In Humulus lupulus, I told you that the Y is smaller than the X, but actually we couldn't find any evidence of deletions in Humulus sex chromosomes, right? Because the genes, they are the same. So what we think the Y chromosome is the same, and what happened in Humulus lupulus is the X chromosome got bigger. So we also tried to develop some genetic marker for sexing, but I'm not going to tell you more about that. I wanted to just conclude saying that this sex detector tool and this segregation analysis approach is really cheap and efficient. It can be used for any organisms. It's ideal for plant systems. Because so the different non-standard methods, they have different performances depending on the age of the system, but the segregation analysis does the best for young to not too old systems. So it's really interesting for plants. And actually, a lot of progress has been done in the field thanks to this method. So many different systems have been characterized. And this led to the discovery of a sex-determining gene. So in plants, the first sex-determining gene was found in 2014, compared to SRY in animals in the 80s. And since then, we have sex-determining genes have been found in about 10 different systems. So it's going really fast. So you might think, oh, now we have long-read technology, so we don't need those methods. And what I can say is the long-read technologies, they are great. We are currently sequencing the Silenia latifolia genome, so it's a very large genome with giant sex chromosomes. And actually, so this is the work of Carol Moraga. And we have a pseudomolecule for each chromosome. And we are still working on the Y chromosome, but at the moment we have three large pieces that are about the size of 100 megabases. So we are confident that we are going to have a nice assembly of the Y chromosome. So it's long reads give nice results, but this is not a fast and cheap experiment, right? So you cannot do that with little money and in a little amount of time. So if you want to do some comparative analysis, the other methods, they are still useful. And also to get the first information on sex determination in non-model organism, it's very useful. I would like just to remind that we know a lot about sex determination in animals, but we plants, they are not the only eukaryote group for which we know little about sex chromosomes. There are other land plants, algae, so this method they could be useful for these groups too. And sex detector have been used to study a supergene. So it's a nice work from Lille on this androdioecious plant. So it can maybe be useful for in other situations. And with that, I wanted to thank the people of the group in Lyon, and also all our collaborators, and special thanks to Alex Fidmer and Roman Obza, long-standing collaborators on Silene. And just wanted to say that now I am at CBO, research center in Portugal, in Porto, in the context of a European grant between CBO and University of Montpellier, and we are looking for postdocs, and thank you for your attention.